started yesterday the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Dalin Amin Aleph, and the Mishnah records a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about a case of Chotzesh and Nifritza L'Rishusa Rabin. And at one point in the Sugya, the Gemara understood that according to Rabbi Eliezer, as a result of the fact that the Chotzer is open up to Rishusa Rabin, it itself gets the status of a Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara then sort of backtracks on that. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer's Moda, he concedes to the Chachamim that the Chatzah itself cannot turn into a Rishus HaRabim just because it opens up into Rishus HaRabim. After all, it's his private property. He owns it. It's a chatzah shel yochid, and given the fact that he has private ownership, bailus, it cannot be considered a rishus harabim. And therefore the Gemara reinterprets Rabbi Eliezer, that we're talking about a case of what's called a derech she'avdalehem. It means that the rishus harabim, the rabim had at one point in time a derech, they had a way of coming up very close to his chatzer. They didn't enter into his chatzer, but right outside the chatzer, they had themselves a derech. Over the course of time, that byway, that passway was lost. But, says Rabbi Eliezer, the rabbim still have the right to take for themselves a derech. They had one, it was lost, but it's still theirs. And they claim that at the point of the mechitza, where the mechitza was nifritza, and that was the outer wall that surrounded his chatzah, we'll call him Reuven's chatzah, now that wall is down, and the rabbim are claiming that right there, at that point, where the mechitza used to stand, they had a derech. And therefore, they want to implement their rights to establish now that derech right there where the mechitza used to be. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, the halacha recognizes the rights of the rabbim to set up that area and designate it as a derech harabim. Now, is it exactly where they had a derech before? We don't know. But the rabbanon understood that we have to give the rabbim that right to set up a derech. You know, they need to travel from one part of the highway to the other part of the highway. They determine that that area, we'll call it location X, where exactly the mechitza that surrounded this chatzah used to stand, it no longer stands, that's where they want to have a derech. And Rabbi Eliezer says, we recognize their rights to establish that derech. They had a derech, they lost the derech, and now they can replace it with this new derech. Hence, that area where the chatzah is now prutza, it opens up into Rishus HaRabim, where there used to be a mechitza, and there's no longer a mechitza. That area there, at the makom ha-mechitza, again, the former mechitza, is now a Rishus HaRabim. The Chachamim reject this. They are of the opinion that the Rabim do not have the carte blanche rights to determine where they will set up their derech, and therefore that area, although it's Nifritza L'Rishus HaRabim, and there may be many people who use that as access to get to where they have to go, it's a Carmelis. It's not a Rishus HaRabim. So the Machlokas now between Rabbi Eliezer is about the Mokom HaMechitza. The Mokom HaMechitza, which once was, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that becomes the Derech HaRabim, and the Mesilas HaRabim has the status of Rishus HaRabim. If somebody would stand in a Rishus HaYochid and throw an object and it lands at that area that's been designated as the Mesilah of the Rabim, he's Chayav from Meleches Hotzah. According to Chachamim, that area is a Carmelis. It's not a Rishus HaYochid because now it is designated for the Rabim. On the other hand, it can't be considered Rishus HaRabim because the Rabim have no rights to abscond and establish their possession, their ownership over that area. Now, the Gemara finally at the end establishes, at least according to one possibility, that the Machlokas is not about the Makom Mechitza. Again, when I say Makom Mechitza, the former Mechitza. But rather, that area is subject to a machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim based on a universal machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan about something called Sidei Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara Masechet Shabbos records this machlokus. There are areas where the Rabbim travel down their main highway, but there are areas off to the side that are separated by chifufe, which means that the store owners on the side will set up pegs and so forth that will prevent the people from getting too close to the facade of their buildings. But nevertheless, if the traffic is very heavy, they pour into that area. And Rabbi Eliezer holds that since, on occasion, the Rabbim will use that area, despite the chifufe, as a travel area through their Rishus HaRabim, therefore it has the status of Rishus HaRabim. According to the Chachamim, on the other hand, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, which are very rarely used, only if need be, by the Rabbim, are not considered part and parcel of the Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara then asks the question, well, why does our Mishnah then record a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about a Chatzah Shenifritzah? Forget about Chatzah Shenifritzah. Why doesn't the Mishnah simply record a machlokas, which has many ramifications, not only in Hilchas Shabbos, but in Hilchas Kinyonim, about the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim? Why focus exclusively on this particular scenario of a Chatzah Shenifritzah? And the Gemara says that if you only had the machlokas about Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, you would not be able to derive any conclusions about Chatzah Shenifritzah, because it could be that the Chachamim object and reject Rabbi Eliezer in the case of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim because of the chifufe, because the store owners, as we said, set up these barriers that make it very inaccessible for the Rabbim to go in there. Therefore, it cannot be considered a nispach, an extension or auxiliary to Rishus HaRabim. It's not a Rishus HaRabim. But in the case of Chatzah Shenifritzah, where there is nothing separating or distancing the Rabbim in their travels from the Makom HaMechitza, where the Mechitza used to stand, in that case, maybe the Rabbanu would agree and concede that Enoch Hinamid has the status of a full-fledged Rishus HaRabim Gemurah. Kamash Balan, that's why our Mishnah establishes a machlokus in the case of a Chatzah Shenifritzah, to tell you how far the Rabbanan went with their view that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim lav kirishus HaRabim domi, even in the absence of chifufe, if it's not an integral part of the Derech HaRabim, the Rabbim have no right to break ground and establish that area as their Hiluch Rabbim, even though in reality that's where they're walking. It's not a Rishus HaRabim, it's still the private property of Mr. Reuven. So what we're up to today is V'ha-mitocha ka'amar. V'ha-mitocha ka'amar. Let's see if we can find, you know, the words of the Gemara so that we could all be together on the same page. On Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph, we are counting up from the bottom of the Amud going up approximately, shall we say, 15 lines. The first word in the line is Lun, which is attached to the previous sentence of the Gemara Kamashmalan. And the Kamashmalan was, as we said before, that even in a case where there are no chifufe, the Rabbanan still say Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, lav kirishus HaRabim, it's a caramelist, it's not a Rishus HaRabim. And now the Gemara raises the objection, V'ha mitocha ka'omar. Now, if you read the language of the Mishnah, the Gemara points out that we have a sticky problem over here. Because when the Mishnah records the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer and the Shita of the Chachamim, the word mitocha is used. And we're talking about a case where someone, let's say, is in Rishus HaYachid, and he throws litocha, or from litocha, at Rishus HaRabim, at Rishus HaYachid, whatever the various scenarios are, but it's always mitocha, or litocha. Now, mitocha and litocha is a pronoun that refers to the chatzer itself. You threw it into the chatzer, or from the chatzah you threw it into another rishus. And on that scenario, the Mishnah records machlokas. But now we're saying that as far as the chatzah is concerned, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees, that the rabbin, the public, does not have rights to abscond with his chatzah. That's private property. And therefore, the chatzah for surely does not have the status of rishus harabim. So what? How do you justify the word mitocha in the Mishnah? And the Gemara says the five va mitocha ketani, as if to say that we're dealing with the status of the chatzah itself. The Gemara answers, Aidi di omar abonah mitocha, omar iu nami mitocha. The reason why Rabbi Eliezer uses the term mitocha is simply because the Rabbanan used the word mitocha. And the Rabbanan, when they use the word mitocha, they're referring to that area which is designated by the Rabbim as a derech, and they hold that even if they throw from that area into a rishus hayochid, they're not chayev, because it only has the status of a karmel. So Rabbi Eliezer uses the same terminology as the Rabbanan. Now here, I want to quote to you a Tosis Yontif. You know, Tosis Yontif is one of the main commentaries on the Mishnah. And he says, Tema. He says, Midivrei HaGemara, Misbayer Sh'Rabbi Eliezer Omer Estvarov Li'achar Sh'omru Chachomim Eshi Tosam. When Rabbi Eliezer made his comment, and he used and employed the terminology of mitocha, it was because he heard that terminology from the Rabbanan. He was mimicking the Chachamim in a symmetrical sort of a way. Therefore, asks the Tosis Yontif a technical question, but it's very interesting. He asks about the sequence recorded in the Mishnah. The Mishnah actually records the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer first, and only then the Chachamim. It would have made more sense for the Mishnah to present the Shita of the Chachamim first, and they employ the word mitocha, referring to that area outside the chatzer, at the former location of the machitza of Hashalom. And that's called mitocha. And Rabbi Eliezer says mitocha using the same terminology. But instead, the Mishnah actually puts Rabbi Eliezer first. Says the Tosis Yontif that there's a principle that Rebbe employs when he edits the Mishnah, when he writes the Mishnah, that first, he's mesader the shita of the yachid, and only then he is meshane divrei chachamim b'achrona. So again, in terms of historical sequence, actually the chachamim made their statement and formulated their ruling first, and then Rabbi Eliezer joined on board, and he utilized the same terminology. But the Mishnah has a principle in terms of the style, the literary style of the Mishnah, that first you quote the dissenting view, the Das Yochid, and then you quote the Chacham. It would be interesting to do a search throughout the Mishnayos and see if that sheet of the Tosis Yontif always holds water. Now the Gemara asks the following kasha. For Rabbanon, we have a problem with the Shitas Chachamim here. Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. They said to Rabbi Eliezer that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is not Rishus HaRabim. Umahadri le'inhu mitocha. In other words, they use the word mitocha, and it's very interesting because since Rabbi Eliezer concedes that the inside of the chatzer is certainly not a rishus harabim, it's only a karmelis, and he only made a statement as far as, according to this interpretation, tzidei rishus harabim, which is the place where the kosel used to be. Why did they answer him and talk about tiltul mitocha? You know, you want to say that Rabbi Eliezer used the word mitocha because he was mimicking the chachamim. But why did the Chachamim, when they argued against Rabbi Eliezer, why did they use the word mitocha when Rabbi Eliezer would agree that as far as the toch of the chatzer, it has the status, in the worst case scenario, of a karmelis, but certainly not of Rishus HaRabim? So more answers, Hachi Kamerle. This is what the Rabbanan was saying to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbanan, le Rabbi Eliezer, milo kamodisli, hecha de metalto mitochel shesarab, mishesarab letocha de potur. Don't you agree that from this area, which we'll call the tocha, meaning the chatzah itself, it's not a rishus harabim, the chatzah itself. The chatzah itself, since it's open up to rishus harabim, although it's not a rishus harabim, maybe it's a caramelist, but, you know, potter avalasa would be appropriate, is therefore tzidei nami loshna. You should have applied the logic that you use to understand the status of the chatzer and apply it to tzidei rishus harabim. What was the logic of the chatzer? The chatzer at the end of the day is separated from the rishus harabim. You only agree that what used to be the mechitza, the outside boundary of the chatzer, that became a rishus harabim because the rabbim had the right to set up their hiluch and their mesila over there, because it was ovd, as we discussed. But the chatzah itself is certainly not a rishus harabim. On the other hand, the chatzah cannot be considered as a rishus hayachid because it's completely open into rishus harabim. So we give it that quasi-status, midrabanan, of a rishus harabim, which means a caramelist. And the reason for that is, the logic that underlies that, is the fact that it is set aside from the Rishus HaRab. Well, see, the Rishus HaRab, likewise, is set aside from the Rishus HaRab. And it's only when the Rabbim sort of veer off to the side, that's when they enter into that area. So Rabbi Eliezer responds that Hasam, when you're talking about inside the Chutz itself, Lo Kadarsi Bei Rabbim, the Rabbim don't have the chutzpah of going into the chatzer itself. They'll go up to the mechitza of the chatzer, what used to be, and then they'll continue on to rishus harabim. But hacha, but with regard to the place where the mechitza once stood, kadarsi bei rabim. The rabim have now basically encompassed that area, or they swallowed up that area into the rishus harabim. They have no compunctions, no hesitations using that area. They claim, as Rabbi Eliezer validates, their rights to establish that as part of the Rishus HaRabim. That's the derech that they established. And now it's Darsi Bei Rabim. Well, the basic requirement of Rishus HaRabim, assuming it's wide enough, and it's an extension of the highway, and it's Darsi Bei Rabim, that's enough to establish it as a Rishus HaRabim. Don't talk to me about the Chatzah. The Chatzah is Lo Darsi Bei Rabim, and therefore it's missing one of the essential qualifications or conditions to set up a Rishus HaRabim. So Ad Kan, this is a completion of what we started yesterday. Now, we start a new Mishnah. Now, this Mishnah is going to deal with, there's a Reish and a Sefer. The Reish is going to talk about a chatzer, and the Sefer is going to talk about a bias. But basically, the Reish and the Sefer are just different permutations of the same principle. The Gemara is going to even ask why we needed both chatzer and batim. And the issue is a case where the mechitzos of either the chatzer in the Reisha or the bias in the Reisha were complete, solid mechitzos. And during the course of Shabbos, those mechitzos became what we call prutzos, meaning they were breached. And the question is, what determines the status of the mechitzos? Is it the moment of the onset of Shabbos, when they were full-fledged mechitzos? Or do we look at it during the course of Shabbos, and we have to maintain the status of the mechitzos throughout Shabbos? The Mishnah says, Chatzah shenifritza l'rishus harabim mishtei ruchoseha. On both sides of the rishus harabim, the walls were broken. So there are two walls on two sides. Let's assume you have the north of the Chatzah, the south of the Chatzah. There was a Pirtz on the north, a Pirtz on the south. V'chein, and this is the Sefer, Bayis Shenifetz Mishteiru Chotzov. So you have, let's say, a facade on the south, and then the back of the house on the north, and on both sides, north and south, there was a Pirtz. V'chein. Now, the Mishnah gives an entirely different scenario, but again, similar in principle to what we dealt with until now. What happens to something that is necessary to allow Tiltul, and it existed in its full-fledged, healthy form at the onset of Shabbos, and then it was Nifritza. And we have something similar in the case of a Mavui. In the case of a Mavui, in addition to a sheet of Muvos, which means that we need all the Chatzeros that share that same Mavui to join together in one Eruv, we'll call it a sheet of Muvos, we also have to set up a Lechi and a Korah at the entrance into the Mavui. And that was the first Mishnah Masechta Eruv. But what happens if Nitlu Korosov O Lechayayov? In the middle of Shabbos, the Lechi or the Korah was removed. And the Mishnah takes the position now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the first Tana, Mutarim be Oso Shabbos. For the balance of this Shabbos, they can rely on that Mechitza, which no longer is a valid Mechitza, or the Korah, which is gone. And Asurim Liosid Lovo. When it comes to next Shabbos, they would not be allowed to carry inside the Chatzar, inside the Bayis, or inside the Mavui, because they would need to set up a Mechitza or a Korah to replace the one that's gone. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Mutarim Lioso Shabbos, is Mutarim Liosid Lovav, Im Asurim Liosid Lovav, Asurim Lioso Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says, how can you differentiate between this Shabbos and next Shabbos? At the point, let's call it Shabbos afternoon, when the mechitzos went down because they were nifritza or the korah was gone, at that point, it's also next Shabbos, then it's also the Shabbos as well. Meaning Rabbi Yossi rejects the position that we view Shabbos as an indivisible 24-hour unit. I'm going to reject that. I'm going to say that at every moment of Shabbos, you need whatever you need to be matir tiltul. And you need a bais that has mechitzos, you need a chatzah that has mechitzos, you need a mavri that has a korah lechi, and at this point in Shabbos, we don't have that. And therefore, the isur tiltul. I'm just going to prove it to you by dramatizing it. Well, next Shabbos, you couldn't allow tiltul if this situation enters into Shabbos. Now, this Shabbos, in the middle of Shabbos, we don't have the principle of hoyel v'hutra hutra. That since there was a heter going into Shabbos, that heter is fixed in stone for the balance of the Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi rejects that. The Gemara asks, "B'mayas kino? Why does the Mishnah emphasize that the pirtza here in the chatzah was on both sides of the chatzah? Ilema be'eser. If you assume that the pirtza was less than a pirtza, meaning it was a pesach, it reached the dimensions of a width of 10 amos, but not more than 10 amos, up to and including 10 amos. It's called a Pesach and not a Pirtza. Is Maishno Miruch Achas Amrin and Pischahu? Mishtei Ruchos Nami Pischahu. On each Mechitza, whether it's on the north or the south, we have a Pesach, we don't have a Pirtza. And therefore, we should be Matir, even in the case of Nifritza Mishtei Ruchosav. If we're going to be Matir in Nifritza Bechad Ruach, because it was 10 amos of a Pirtza, not more than 10 amos, and therefore it's defined as a Pesach. And the Mechitza still has a Shem Mechitza. Then why don't I double it? And even if Mishtei Ruchosel, and even if in the other Mechitza, I also have a Pirtza, but it's Eser Amos, and not more, then it's a Pesach, and not a Pirtza, Ella, by process of elimination. If you want to justify the ruling of the Mishnah at the Chatzah's Neseres, you're going to have to say, be yeser me yeser, that the Pirtz is more than 10 Amos. If that be the case, even one ruach, it's a pirtza, not a pesach, and you don't have a mechitza in that ruach, and therefore it should be asur. What's the distinction here between nifritza b'chad ruach and nifritza b'shtei ruchos of amarav li'olam b'eser? The Mishnah is talking about a pirtza that's only 10 amos wide, and the chatzah should not be neseris. It's not a pirtza. If it had only been on one side, and you have a pirtza on one side, well, if it's eser amos of a pirtza, it's a pesach and not a pirtza, and therefore it's mutter. What happens b'shtei ruchoseha? And here we turn to Daf Tzadi Dalet Amid Beis. Kigon should nifritza bekeren zavis. We're not talking about the scenario that we described earlier, which was the Havamina of the Gemara before Rav, that there was a pirtza on the mechitza in the north and a mechitza on the south, two mechitzos zu keneged zu, but rather we're talking about the mechitza on the east and the mechitza on the south, or whatever combination you want, but it's a keren zavis. You're talking about two mechitzas that meet at a 90-degree angle, and that's where the pirtza was. And even though the pirtza is less than eser amos, nevertheless, it's considered a pirtza, and it undermines the status of the mechitza. And why is that? Because it's a pirtza b'keren zavis. But wait a second. We always said that a person will use a pirtz of Eser Amos as a Pesach, and it's very comfortable for him to enter into an area that is open by 10 Amos or less. Here we have an opening, if you're talking about the airspace going into this Chatzer, we have an opening that's less than 10 Amos. Why not apply the same logic, even in a Keren Zavis, where there's a pirtza of X number of amos to the north and a pirtza of Y amos to the east, and when the southeast corner meet each other, it's less than a pirtza of Eser Amos, then it could be still comfortable to use it as a Pesach. Why do you now undermine the status of the mechitza? And the Gemara answers that Pischa b'keren zavis lo avdi inshi. When you make a Pesach, you make it in one of the four mechitzos, and it could be even in two mechitzos. And that's called a Pesach if it's a pirtza of Eser Amos and not more. But on the corner, when the two mechitzos meet together at that angle, that's not where you set up a pirtza. No one would set up a pirtza like that. And therefore, that's considered not a... what I should have said was, no one would set up a Pesach like that, and therefore that Pesach, even though it's Eser Amos or less, is still considered a Pirtza. So what normally, if there was a Pirtza of Eser Amos in the middle of a wall, would not be considered a Pirtza. It could be used as a Pesach, because people of the Inshi will use that as a Pesach. But in the case of a Keren Zavis situation, where the breakdown and the breach was in the corner, that's not where a person would ever make a Pesach. You can't even consider it a Pesach. And therefore, it's considered a Pirtza. Now you have a Mechitza with a Pirtza, and therefore it can no longer serve as a Mechitza, and now we have an area that's open up directly into Rosh Hashanah Rabin, and it's also Betilta. That is the case of Keren Zavis. And the Ritva adds the following comment: Nidona ha-pirtza ke'ilu hi rechava yosef b'yeser amos. We judge the Keren Zavis situation as if it was a pirtza of more than Eser Amos, and therefore, since now the chutz is parutz with a pirtza, in the case of Keren Zavis, opens up directly to Rishus Rabim, therefore becomes asu b'tilta. Now, the only piece of the puzzle that's missing for me, and maybe there's an obvious answer to this, is how large of a pirtza is it? Is it 3 tfachim? Is it 4 tfachim on each side of the angle here? I don't know. You know, there has to be some minimum amount that constitutes a pirtza. The Ritva is saying that even though it's less than Eser Amos, we consider it a pirtza. Well, what happens if I take a tool and I drill a hole at that Keren Zavis. So therefore, the whole machitza is gone because a little fly could go through there. You could fly in. If it's less than three tefachim, then it's lavud. That for sure, you're going to have a minimum of three tefachim. I'm not sure. It could be that even if you apply lavud, I'm not sure if it's still considered a valid machitza. Let's assume that lavud would salvage the situation, but what about the distance between three tefachim and four tefachim? You know, in Hilchas Erevin, we find that the chashivas is always four tefachim. I just don't know. I couldn't find, at this point, anyone who addresses that question. Now, the Mishnah, as we said, has a resh and a sefer, and they both are identical. You have a pirtza b'shtei ruchoseha of a chatzer, and now we have a pirtza b'shtei ruchoseha of a bayis. And the Mishnah's language is v'chein bayis nifrats mishtei ruchoseha. So the Gemara immediately asks the obvious question, maishna miruach achas, why is there any difference between a pirtza on one side of the bayis, call it the north, and a pirtza on both sides of the bayis? Well, that doesn't make any sense, because if there's a pirtz on one side of the bayis, for example, we're going to apply the principle of the Avinu Pitikra Yored Vesoso. In other words, the edge of the roof is going to consider, we consider it as if it goes down, so that now you have a pirtza in one of the four mechitzos of the bayis, but there's still a gag on top of that pirtza, on top of that mechitza. On that side, you still have a roof. So even if you were to judge that mechitza as if it's not a mechitza, because physically it's not a mechitza, it was nifritza, but nevertheless, there's a halachic mechitza on that side, an imaginary mechitza called pi tikra yori v'sosan. And therefore, I'm going to tell you the following, that if despite the pirtza, we have a machitza based on P. Tikra Yorid Vesosem, I'm going to apply that same rule to Nifritza Mishtei Ruchoseh. Is Mishtei Ruchos Nami Lema P. Tikra Yorid Vesosem? Why don't I apply this imaginary machitza even if two of the sides of the house are open, but there's a gag that covers them on top, and the edge of the gag goes down through the principle of Pitikra? So more answers, Amri de Rav, Mishmei de Rav, Kegon, Shenifrats, Bekeren, Zavis. We're going to apply the same Ukimta that Rav insisted on in the Reish of Chotzer to the Sefer in the case of Bayis. Just like Rav said, in the case of a chatzer, you have a pirtza on the Keren Zavis, and even if that pirtza is 10 amos, but not more. So in Hilchas Mechitzos, this is not a pirtza. It would be defined and categorized as a Pesach, but nevertheless, since it's in Keren Zavis, and Keren Zavis lo avdi inshi, therefore it's not a Pesach, but a pirtza, we're going to apply the same ukimta to the next case in the Mishnah of bayis mishtei ruchoseha. And shtei ruchoseha means at a 90 degree angle. And the Gemara calls it Keren Zavis again. And therefore, we're going to undermine the principle of Pitikra Yorid Vesosev. How so? Now, in the case of the Chatzer, Rav said that we cannot utilize the principle of Pesach in a case of Keren Zavis, because Keren Zavis pischalo avdi inshi. What are we saying now about the bayis? In the case of the bayis, we're not dealing with Pesach versus pirtza. After all, we don't have a pirtza here. There's no eser amos or more in the pirtza. So what is the problem of Keren Zavis? And to bolster our question, I'm trying to justify why the Gemara has to add the next line. We're going to ask, what happened to Pitikra Yorid Vesosim? You have a gag on top of the Keren Zavis, both on the, you know, the north side and the south and the eastern side, and that sets up imaginary mechitzos. So in this case of Keren Zavis and Abayis, once we have Pitikri Yod Vesosim, we have full-fledged, bona fide, reliable mechitzos that qualify to set up the makom as a mukaf mechitzos. It's a complete classic Rishus HaYachid. Why does the Mishnah establish that you can no longer carry from the Bayis? What happened to the Bayis? You'll tell me it was Nifritza B'Keren Zavis, but I still have a gag on top. And if I have a gag on top, and the mechitzos below the gag were breached, then I could apply the principle of P. Tikri Yod V'Sosem. So the Gemara answers, V'Keruyav Be'alakson, that the Tikra, that the roof of this house, is on an incline. It's like, I'll give you an example, what we call a Gagra Fim. You know, they're made of shingles, you know, on an incline. Okay, fine. So it's Balakson. So the Gemara says, Keruyev Balakson, Lekalameimar Pitikra Yored Vesosem. Our Mishnah is talking about a roof that's on an incline. In Hebrew, it's called Mishupas, right? So it's a Tikra Mishupas. It's on an incline. And for such a Tikra, we don't apply the principle of P. Tikra Yored Visosem. This is how Rashi interprets the Sugya. And what's unclear in Rashi is, if you have a gag that's mishupa, that's on an incline, why don't we apply the principle of pitikra yored v'sosem? I mean, there is an end, an edge to the tikra, right? Okay, it goes down on an incline, but at some point you get to the end of the gag, and from that point on, you should say pitikra yored v'sosem. So the Rid, that's one of the Italian Rishonim, usually known as either Tosus Arid or Piske Arid from the famous Tarani family, he writes to explain Rashi that Gag Mishupa Yored Balakson Chutz LeKosle Abayis. Normally, if you have a flat roof, so the edge of the roof is exactly above the Kosel, the wall of the house. In other words, if you draw a straight line from the wall of the house all the way to the top of the wall, what you're going to hit is the tikra. You're going to hit the gag. The gag and the tikra are a perfect 90-degree angle, but not so in the case of a gag balakson when it's mishupa. Because what's going to happen is that when you draw a line from the floor to the top, meaning the entire machitza, that kosel Abayis, you will hit somewhere in the middle of the gag, so to speak, but you won't hit the edge of the gag. And if the edge of the gag, says the Tosfos Reed, is not connected to the kosel, to the machitza, then we don't apply the principle of P. Tikra, Yori V'Sosem. In other words, the gag, in a sense, overshoots the kosel. And once it does so, it doesn't have the ability to set up a mechitza. It only has the ability to set up a mechitza in a classic flat roof, which we view the edge of the roof as so to speak, the spitz, the end of the kosel. And that gives the tikra, the gag, a powerful status of pitikra yored v'sosem. And even if part of the mechitza is gone, but the mechitza, had it been there, would have ended up straight line, a beeline to the gag, then we could apply the imaginary mechitza going down. But if the gag overshoots the kosel because of its shipua, then it's not subject to the law of pitikra yored v'sosem. And the distinction here of the Rid is taken by the poskim even one step further. Forget about a gag mishupa. What if I have a flat roof, perfectly flat, 90-degree angle from the kosel, but it extends beyond the kosel? And that's called a gag. Right? The two categories would be classic gag hamistayim b'shava l'ksolim, and the second category would be gag sheyotzei chutz l'ksolim. If the gag extends beyond the ksolim, beyond the walls of this house, then according to Tosus Rid, the Poskim claim, we can no longer apply the principle of Pitikra Yoivis Sosem. Right? Normally a gag is straight and it ends at the point of Shava B'Ksolim. But if Lu Yitzu had a gag, even if it wasn't Meshupa, but the gag, the Tikra, doesn't end up at the Kosel, but extends beyond the Kosel, then once again, if it's Bolei Achutza, Chutz L'Ksolim, it cannot be subject to the law of Pitikra Yoivis Sosem. And this is the best we can do with Rashi's commentary on our Gemara. That when the Gemara says that Balakson Lekel Meimar Pitikra Yoriv is Sosem, he is referring to this principle that the Tosus Rid elaborates on and formulates, that if the Gag goes beyond the Ksolim, like in a case of Balakson, or for that matter, even in case of a Gag HaShove, but it goes beyond, it's Eino Mistayim B'Mokom HaShove L'Ksolim, we don't apply the principle of Pitikra Yoriv V'Sos. Tosus, Dibra Maschel V'Kiyurov, which is the fourth Tosus before the end of the Amud, asks the following question on Rashi. He says, Rashi Pirsha Nifat HaKosel Chamesh mikan v'chamesh mikan v'lo dak di imkein lo havi pirtza yoser me eser. And based on this kasha, he comes up with an alternative pshat. That is, that nifritza af hatikra biosa keren zovis. Meaning, according to Tosfos, what Rav is saying is, in the case of a bias, that there was a nifritza not only on the walls of the house, but even on the gag itself. So that we can no longer apply the principle of Pitikra, because the gag itself is broken, is breached, so to speak. And if Afa Tikra Biosa Keren Zavis Prutza, in other words, the Pirtz of the Mechitzos traveled all the way up and included even the Tikra, the Gag, then you don't have now a Tikra that ends up on a straight line, but rather it's Balakson. And I have a picture of it here. What you see is really a kind of a rectangle shape, and at the corner of the rectangle there are no mechitzos whatsoever, and the mechitzos on the right and the left will only hit a point where the tikra is recessed into the bias itself. So there's a recession in the tikra, and therefore the tikra, insofar as it's recessed, meaning it no longer reaches that straight line in the mechitzos, it's not subject to Pitikra Yoriv V'Sosem. And the Rush elaborates on Tosfos, and he says that the yesod of Pitikra is that we convert a pirtza into a pesach by extending the roof downward, and therefore the mechitza, which normally would be possible because it's a mechitza prutza, is no longer a prutza, but rather a pesach, because we now lower the mechitzos. And what the Rush wants to do is, he wants to take the chatzer case of the reisha and the tikra case in the bias of the sefer, and so to speak, close the gap between them. And what he's basically saying is that if Pitikra has the goal of setting up a pesach, then it becomes exactly like the Pesach of the Chatzah that we discussed earlier. We said that in a Keren Zavis, we don't make a Pesach. Lo Avdi Inshi. It's not the derech to make a Pesach at a Keren Zavis. And therefore, says the Rush, what happens here is, if Pitikra has the goal of transforming a Pirtz into a Pesach, it cannot achieve that goal if the breakage, the piritza, was in the Keren Zavis, because Ein Derech Lasos Pesach the Keren Zonos. So we really have now three different approaches to our sugya. We have the approach of Rashi as explained by the Rid, and that is that whenever you have a kosel, and the kosel extends beyond the line of the mechitzos, either because it's meshuba, or because it's a flat kosel, it's a flat roof that extends beyond the line of the kosel, we don't apply the principle of pitikra. Or we have Tosfos Shita, that the pirtza was not only in the mechitzos, but it was also in the tikra itself. And now the tikra itself has receded beyond the lines of the mechitzos, and therefore it's not subject pitikra. And then we have the third approach, which is the Rush, and he tries to fit this into Tosfos, that we don't apply pitikra in order to establish a Pesach in a Keren Zovis, because lo avdi inshi pischa b'keren zovis. So again, what we have is an explanation, a justification as to why the Mishnah emphasizes shtei ruchos, and that is because if it would have been ruach achas, and you have a pirtz of eser amos, that's the ukimta that we're assuming in the Mishnah, it would only be dealt with or categorized as a pesach, not as a pirtz. The mechitza would still retain its status. But here you have shtei ruchos, which means keren zavis, and if the Mishnah is talking about a case of either a chatzer, shenifritz of a keren zavis, or a bias shenifritz of a keren zavis, in both cases, we cannot salvage these mechitzos, even though the pirtza was only eser amos, which would have been a pesach, because when it comes to a keren zavis, and that's the shtei ruchosov, we cannot be matir such a pirtza midin pesach. And that's called ein derech lasos pesach b'keren zavis. Adkan shitas Rav. And now we get to the shita of Shmuel. Ushmuel Omar, the Mishnah is talking about a chotzer shenifritzo mishtei ruchoseh afilu b'yeser mi'eser amos. Now this is pretty wild, because if the pirtz is more than eser amos, then it completely undermines the status of mechitza. So we don't have to introduce shtei ruchoseha. Ihachi miruach achas nami. The Mishnah could have been satisfied to tell you that there's an isa tiltal inside the chatzer if it's parutz to rishus harabim, and it's parutz to rishus harabim because the opening is 10 amos and more. It's yeser mi eser. So the Gemara answers that in truth, the Mishnah, in the case of Chatzer, Shenifritza, didn't even have to mention Shtei Ruchosel. Ruach Achas would have been enough to negate and invalidate the Mechitza, because it's a Pirtza of more than Eser Amos. And if it's Prutza to Rishus Rabban, it's also Betilto. But Mishum Bais. The only reason the Mishnah and the Reisha mentioned Shtei Ruchosel is agav aidi the tani sefer in the case of a bias, where you have to have, in order to justify the Mishnah and the Iser of Tiltal and the bias, a pirtza b'shtei ruchoseh. So the Gemara asks, ubayis gufei tikshi, maishna me ruach achas damrina pitikra yori v'sosem, mishtei ruchos nami neima pitikra yori v'sosem. So what if the pirtza was on two ruchos of the bias? I still have the gag on top, and I can set up P-Tikri Yor V'Sosem and extend the gag downwards and establish imaginary mechitzos to replace the mechitzos that once were. And that's one kash on Shmuel. V'su, I have another objection to Shmuel's approach to the Mishnah. Mi Islay L'Shmuel P-Tikri Yor V'Sosem? Are you telling me that Shmuel maintains Pitikra Yod V'Sosem? We know that Shmuel rejects the principle of Pitikra Yod V'Sosem. Don't take me literally on that. V'hoi Itmar, we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in the case of Achsadra. Achsadra, as we said many times, is a Tikra that is open on all sides. It's being held up by four poles. And it's located in a bikkah, in some sort of open area, which is called a karmelis. It has no mechitzas whatsoever. And according to one opinion, which is the opinion of Rav Hama Mutal Talta Bekula, we recognize this achsadja as if the area in the machsadra is surrounded by four machitzos by applying P tikra yod v'sosem times four. On every single side of this tikra of the achsadja, we're going to apply and extend the machitzos downward such that it's mukav machitzos. You're allowed to carry inside the achsadja. And it's not a karmelis because it's completely surrounded by machitzos. It's a separate area within the karmelis. Shmuel Amrei Metaltun Bala Toch Arba Amos. Shmuel is not willing to apply the principle of Pitikri Yod V'Sosei and set up a Rishus HaYochid. It is part of the Bikkur. It's not separated from the Bikkur by Machitzos, and therefore it has the status of a Karmelis. And in the Karmelis, we're only allowed to carry four Amos. So we see clearly that Shmuel himself doesn't accept the din of Pitikri Yod V'Sosem. Again, you have to ask yourself the obvious question. Pitikri Yod V'Sosem, the Gemara establishes Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Does Shmuel deny Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai? But in any event, at this point, the Gemara raises this second question. How do we reconcile Shmuel, who says that the bias in our Mishnah is Nifratz Mishtei Ruchos Seha, and why do we need Shtei Ruchos Seha? Because if it was only a pirtz on one side, we would apply the principle of Pitikri Yod V'Sosem. Shmuel rejects the principle of Pitikri Yod V'Sosem, as we saw in the case of Achsadra. Holo Kasha, the Gemara says that the second question that you raise is not a valid question. Why? Ki Lesle, when does Shmuel reject Pitikri Yod V'Sosem? He doesn't reject the whole entity of Pitikra, which is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, but that's only the Arba Mechitzos, meaning he's not willing to apply P Tikra without any Mechitza whatsoever. You can't take just the Tikra and set up Mechitzos without any Mechitzos whatsoever, like in the case of Achsadra, which is completely open on all four sides. Aval Bisholosh, if you have three Mechitzos, then even Shmuel would accept the principle of P Tikra Yorid V'Sosev. And according to some Rishonim, even if there's only one mechitza, Shmuel would agree that we could apply Pitikri Yod V'Sosem on three out of four mechitzas. Isle, he accepts the principle of Pitikra. So now the Gemara says, Mikomakom Kashav, we go back to our first question, that if the bias is Nifratz, Beruach Achas, you can apply the principle of Pitikra. Then what about Shtei Ruchos? We should also be matir, and even in the absence of two machitzos, because the pirtza of more than Eser Amos, let's apply extending the machitzos downward from the Tikra. And the Gemara answers, Kida Amri Bei Rav Mishmei De Rav. Now we're going to use the same Ukimta as Rav used. Kigon Shenifratz Bekeren Zavis. Now, is Shmuel saying the same thing as Rav? That if there's a pirtza on the corner of the house that affects, in effect, two mechitzos, that's not considered a Pesach, but rather it's considered a pirtza. Well, that makes no sense, because Shmuel is talking about a case where the pirtza is more than Eser Amos. Rav has to justify why we invalidate the mechitzos in a case of Keren Zavis, and that means that we consider it a pirtza, even though, despite that, the fact that it's less than Eser Amos of a pirtza, and therefore he comes up with the principle of pirtza lo avdi inshi, that in the case of a Keren Zavis we don't make a Pesach. So the Gemara adds kiruyav be'alakson, that the roof of the house is on an incline, and even though the Mishnah doesn't say anything about Keruyav Balakson, but we're going to have to add that to understand the Mishnah, and we're going to assume that Keruyav Balakson, in a case of Nifratz Bekeren Zavis, So now we say the following. Chachinami, in the case of the bias, according to Rav's interpretation of the Mishnah, we added the Ukimta of Kiruyavach's Alachson. Chachinami, here in Shmuel's understanding of the Mishnah, we're also going to add an Ukimta, and that is Kigon Shinifrats Bekeren Zavis Keruyav Biarba. Now, what does Keruyav Barba mean? Rashi interprets that Keruyav Barba means Biarba Tfachin. And what we're saying now is that the Nifritza of Kosle Abayis in the Keren Zavis on both sides also has, let's say on the north and the south you have a Pirtza of 5 amos, but in addition there was a Pirtza in the Keruyov, in the Tikra itself, of 4 tfachin. So we have a Pirtza in each one of the Kosle Abayis of 5 amos, and we have a Pirtza in the Tikra of 4 tfachin. So Rashi says the following, that in this case, if we want to close up this Pirtza, and therefore we want to apply Pitikra Yori Visosem, we're going to have to do it times 4, in 4 different places. Why? Because we have the Dalet Fachim in the Tikra itself, on one side. You have the Dalet Fachim of the Pirtza on the in the Pirtza of the Tikra on the other side. So that's already two stimos. In other words, we're already applying, you know, an imaginary mechitza on 2 ends. And then on top of that, once we establish the Tikra and we sort of bridge that 4 tfachim gap, now we have to lower the mechitzos to make up for the Pirtza on each one of these mechitzos. So when Shmuel had in mind 10 amos, he meant 5 amos here, 5 amos here. And now the question is, can we apply P-Tikra times 4? In order to be sosem the Pirtza, tzarech lo medin P-Tikra yored v'sosem v'arba makomos, v'kevan sheshita Shmuel ein omer P-Tikra ele b'shlosha makomos, right, in the case of Achsadra, Shmuel required a minimum of 1 mechitza, as we discussed, and Pitikra now is times 3, but he wasn't willing to apply Pitikra to an Achsadra that's open on all sides, because then he has to apply Pitikra times 4. Here also, in the case of Nifrats B'Keren Zavis V'Kiruyav B'Arba, he needs to apply Pitikra times 4. And that Shmuel doesn't have the opportunity to do. He doesn't have the luxury to do. And just to complete the sugya, if you have another 5 minutes, the Gemara says, Shmuel Omer Karav, why did Shmuel reject the interpretation of Rav? And the answer is, Dalachson lo ketani. It doesn't say in the Mishnah anywhere, no indication whatsoever, that the Tikra of this bias is on an incline. And therefore, it's more logical to assume that we have a classic Tikra, which is a Tikra Yeshara, and that's the kind of Tikra that they use in most Batim, and we should apply the principle of P-Tikra Yori V'Sosem. Rav lo amar k'Shmuel. Rav couldn't accept the interpretation of Shmuel that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a bias of Kiruyav B'Arba. It means that there are Arba Pios Shetzarech L'Sosman. You have on 4 different openings, you have to plug them up, so to speak. Because in Cain, if that's the interpretation of the Mishnah, then Havi le'achsadra, v'rav le'tami, d'omei achsadra, mutal le'taltal b'kula. So what are you going to tell me, according to Shmuel, since we have a case of Kiruyev Ba'ar, but we now have to apply the principle of Pi Tikra times 4. Well, Rav accepts Pi Tikra even times 4. How do I know this? Because Rav, in the case of Achsadra, says you're allowed to be metaltal inside the Achsadra. Where are the mechitzos that separate it from the Bika, which is a caramelist? And the answer is, because Rav is willing to apply Pi Tikra Yorv Vesosem on 4 different sides. And if that be the case, then here, in the case of Nifritzah B'Keren Zavitz, and it's a case of Kiruyah Ba'arba, Rav will apply the principle of Pi Tikra Yorid Vesosem times 4. Diitmar, Achsadra Bebika, Rav Hama Mutil Talta Bekula, Shmuel Amar Ein Metaltim Boil Arba Amos, Rav Hama Mutil Talta Bekula, Diamrinan Pi Tikra Yorid Vesosem, Ushmuel Amar Ein Metaltim El Be Arba Amos, Lo Amrinan Pi Tikra Yorid Vesosem. So let's just make a note of where we got up to here on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. We are 4 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. The Eser Kuliyamo Lo Pligi, and that's in Ritz Shem, where we'll pick it up tomorrow.